The Swiss artist Paul Klee once described drawing as taking a line for a walk. If that's the case, my next guest here on Books and Arts is something of a marathon runner. Think contour maps, endless repetitive line work that creates wild optical effects, all intuitive and driven by emotional states. The Melbourne-based artist Phoebe Parisia has just exhibited her work at one of the exhibitions held alongside the Venice Biennale, a mind-boggling survey of international arts practice, among many, called Personal Structures, at the Palazzo Mora. She's also showing her work at the Grafton Regional Art Gallery in northern New South Wales. I'm with Phoebe Parisia in her studio in West Melbourne.
I think my work is repetitive. At this point in time, it's very monochromatic, very highly detailed, and been told it's quite intense visually.
Yes, there's an optical effect, and what we have is shimmering lines. I mean, the best way to describe your work, I think, or the work that I've seen and the work that I'm accustomed to of yours, you're taking lines for very long walks, and I'm reminded of the contours of landscape, but these are inner landscapes.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Psychological mapping, I guess I refer to it as. It's the transference of internal states into the line in particular. All information can be described in one line. Everything that's coming from the inside of the state that I'm at a particular time, emotionally, psychologically, the influence from the outside environment, all of that information carries through the body and ends up, with each fragment, each movement changes the movement in the line and the direction and the flow.
The tattoo gun has been used in your work. You've tattooed onto polypropylene and onto perspex. Talk about the tattoo, that just bears out this kind of the repetitive nature of the line. But tattooing, also, that's quite it's quite heavy.
Yeah, I think, I've always been interested in tattoos and tattooing.
And you have some really beautiful tattoos, I have to say. I saw them in Venice.
Yeah, I do. I've got a few. But I think from a psychological point of view, I'm quite interested in the concept of tattooing. I always had this theory with it from quite a young age. I did a tattoo on myself for the first time when I was about 14, I think. Bought it with a pin and some ink. But I always had this theory that, the imagery that on the body, was a manifestation of the internal desires or internal insecurities, coming from the internal to the external. And, the significance of marking the body and disruption of the body and, so I've always found it really fascinating. And, as a tool, I had the opportunity to work with it just as a drawing tool, as a marking tool, and decided to experiment with taking it away from the body and putting it into, inanimate objects and materials. Which is also, reflects in my work, the transference of the internal to the external. So it was quite a significant medium, really.
These works that we're looking at are in your studio here in West Melbourne. I'm seeing, I look for the literal. I'm a bit boring like that, but I see the top of, for me that's like a stone tool, a flaked stone tool like those I saw at Lake Mungo. The head of a flaked stone tool, and they have that kind of natural, they feel to me like natural shapes, because they are coming out of your mind and you're pouring forth these shapes.
Yeah, that's interesting. These are early, when I first began to work with the line repeated, and this concept of, you know, the transference of all information into the line. And it was a real, really unconscious process, that the works ended up becoming, I guess, like mountains. And yeah, it wasn't intentional. I think it's just the way I just let the work kind of the flow, you know, the way that it wanted to, and this was the resulting outcome. You know, I never really direct the work to be a certain form. Yeah, it doesn't work like that.
What has just come out before I started recording this interview was your background, so to speak, as a creator of portraits, a portraitist.
What drew me to portraits, or, you know, representation of the human face, I guess, initially was my attempt to describe emotion and emotional states, and that was the most, I guess, most obvious way to do that. It was also coupled with my intense love of obsessive material processes as well. You know, getting this, you know, really fine repetitive detail and observing the face and replicating that detail in the material. So that's really what drew me to portraiture, and I really would only draw the same two people or same three people over and over and over again, and I tried to find ways to describe portraiture in a different way, you know, to describe, you know, that it wasn't about portraiture, it was about these other ideas and concepts, but I felt, you know, that it just had too rich a, too heavy a history, that it was impossible to get away from that in the way that I wanted to. So yeah, I gradually, but it kind of happened abruptly actually, that that I dropped representation entirely and started working. Yeah, I remember the exact moment actually, when I was in complete upheaval and angst and making work one evening, and had been talking to a friend actually about this kind of these ideas, and I sat down and just, you know, out of complete frustration, drew this one line really slowly, and, you know, and I could feel everything pouring out of me into this one line, and all these like movements and blips and little disruptions, and then it, you know, that felt quite satisfying, so I did it again, you know. And one line followed the other, and one followed the other. And suddenly I had this process that was giving me everything that I had been looking for, I guess.
Iceland, what did it, has it brought itself to bear in your work? I mean, not imagining having been there in that kind of forbidding landscape. I don't know what time of year you were there, but Iceland, you know, I'm just imagining vast, empty space. It probably wasn't your experience of Iceland at all. But did it bring itself to bear on your work?
Yeah.
It was a residency in Iceland.
Yeah, yeah. I first, Iceland has been fundamental actually to my, and very, very significant to my practice. Influencing my practice. I first went there, I was on a residency there about a year ago for 2 months, but previous to that I had been there for a week on the end of a trip, for just to have a look at the place. I was really intrigued by Iceland for two reasons, because people often ask me why I went to Iceland, you know, and visually, I mean, it's obvious, you know, the monochromatic and the sparseness, that was definitely one reason why I wanted to go. But I also, I inherited about 720 slides, photographic slides of my father's and of his travels when in the late 60s. And I never knew my father, so this is like the one possession I have of his. And they're all unnamed, and there are a lot of slides in there of volcanic areas and two postcards from Iceland. So I had this, always had this curiosity, you know, of what it would be like, or, you know, what it was like. And I had this kind of fantasy of like visiting the same places, same locations as these slides. So that was one reason I wanted to go there. Also, astrology has played a big part in my family history and is quite significant to me. My great-grandmother was an astrologer, and she did all of the family's charts by hand, hand-drawn charts, and all our names were done with numerology. And, you know, so I've come from a very esoteric background. On my chart it was noted that energetically that Iceland was meant to be, you know, the most significant place for me in the world energetically, and I wanted to see if that was true. You know, I wanted to see what it felt like to be there. And I do have a healthy skepticism as well, and I went there, you know, with this in mind, but, you know, also the visual influence in mind. And it ended up energetically being very, very productive for me, very inspiring, very productive, and I felt really a real sense of peace there. Actually, I feel like I could spend a lot more time there in the future.
Phoebe Parisia, Daniel Browning with you on Books and Arts, filling in for Sarah Kanoski.